Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in.
Before we talk about the exercises that are best for your glutes, you want to know what is connected to your glutes? Your feet. And I'm kind of being facetious here, but not really, because if you look at the bottom of your foot through your calf and hamstrings and glutes, that makes up the full posterior chain of our lower body. And making sure that it's all functioning together and in synergy is vital for all of our lower body mechanics and all of our lower body movements and exercises. And that's why Jen and I like to go barefoot or wear Vivo barefoot shoes, because it really helps us truly feel the ground, feel what our feet are doing underneath us. We are absolute believers in the thin, flexible bottoms of Vivo barefoot shoes and the wide toe areas to allow our toes to spread and move and do what they need to do. Now, the thing that I love the most about Vivo is that they have types of shoes for everything. Right now, during the winter, they have boots, they have hiking boots, and boots that will keep you warm, even in the cold snow of Minnesota when we head there after the holidays. So if you're wanting to make one change coming into the new year, get yourself in some barefoot shoes and just feel the difference. There is strong research that shows that just wearing barefoot shoes the majority of the time can significantly increase your foot strength over just 6 months. So head down to the link in the show notes and grab yourself a Christmas present that is going to pay back dividends in the future by helping you feel the ground better and move better. Make sure you use code TOB15 at checkout to get 15% off your entire order. All right, let's get into the episode.
All right, what glute exercises are best if you want to grow your booty?
Booty gains.
Booty gains. You know, I really chose this one because, one, it is a very recent article that just got released. And because we live in the age of social media of this exercise is best, and if you want booty gains, do this one, and like all these different things, let's just go through what the research is actually finding. And what I think was interesting about this is, you know, they used what is traditionally used, which is an EMG, to kind of target what the reading is for a muscle activation, to say this is the best exercise based on what the EMG says because it recorded the best muscle, right, activation, where now they're saying, okay, but what's the actual peak muscle force of how that is, you know, relating within the body to actually create the force that we want from that muscle that's actually going to make the largest impact?
Which you would think, I mean, just like thinking about it, EMG. So if the, because essentially these EMGs are these little sensors that you put on the skin over the muscle that record the electrical activity coming off of essentially the nerves from the muscle to say, okay, that's how active this muscle is right now. And when they do research studies, we would see this in physical therapy school and in our program all the time, of like the EMG activity for this exercise was best to get rotator cuff activation or hamstring activation or glute med activation.
Specific muscles.
When you're talking about rehabbing certain body areas. And then what researchers would do is say, okay, great, so these exercises are the best when you're doing rehab in this area or trying to get activation of this muscle. But there's been a lot of critiques of that, like how does EMG activity, it's literally this random electrical activity coming off the muscle, how does that relate to the force production of that muscle during that exercise? And so that's what this research study looked at. It took how many different exercises, you know, 20 or 18 different exercises. 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 12. 14. 14?
14. 14 different exercises.
Who counted right? different exercises, and compared the EMG activity to the max muscle, peak muscle force production during that exercise.
Yeah. And I think what's, you know, when we're really looking in the training sense, because we're trying to create increased strength, increased hypertrophy of these muscles, like what is the exercise that I want to be focused on? So we want to also just, we'll go through kind of what the research study found and what they said, what some limitations of this research study might be and what we need to consider, but also just what are going to be the heaviest hitters when I'm talking about my glute max and my glute med. So glute max is like the big muscle, the big, huge glute in the very back
that's
of
the
our
butt.
That's our butt, right? The glute med is along the side. So we talk about glute med strength and stability a lot because it helps us stay upright and forward instead of kicking our hip out to the side too much and getting a lot of lateral movement when we're walking. It keeps us a little bit more supported and upright.
In my opinion, and I don't know if you'd agree with this, the glute med is the rotator cuff of the hip.
It is.
It surrounds the hip. It goes kind of front to back. It has actions in both internal, external rotation. So it's very similar in what it does for the hip as what the rotator cuff does for the shoulder. So yeah, that is why it is always or often a topic of research when it comes to how do we rehab this. And it's often something we're wanting to target when people are rehabbing their hips from
yes.
pain, rehabbing different gluteal or hip pathologies, even low back pain. You know, training the hips and the glute med can be huge in low back pain. So again, this is, you know, points more towards the importance of, okay, well, when we are in a rehab program, what exercises should we really be working and moving people towards if we're truly wanting to get the most force production out of these muscles?
Yeah. So this was a smaller study. They recruited 14 healthy female football players. So I'm assuming this means soccer in America.
The football, the European football.
Yes.
Real football, some would say.
So young, healthy, active women with training backgrounds. And each participant performed 8 different hip focus exercises. So this was a mix of body weight and loaded drills. Like
8? There's 14 on the chart.
There's 14 on the chart.
I recounted.
But they apparently just tested 8. Well, because I think it's between body weight and
okay.
and repetition. So when we're talking body weight versus
adding
loaded
resistance.
Repetition,
okay.
then we get to 14 different exercises. But out of those 14, between all of that, it was 8 different drills, including a single leg squat, a split squat, so just like standing in a lunge position and squatting up and down, a single leg Romanian deadlift, a hip thrust, a single leg hip thrust, a banded sidestep, a hip hike. So the hip hike is where you stand on one foot, like say you're standing on a stair and you just lift your hip up and down, sidesteps and single leg, like laying on your side and doing a straight leg raise on the side. And so from this, they collected EMG data from 12 lower limb muscles, including the glute max and the glute med. And here's where it gets interesting, because instead of stopping at the EMG, they fed the EMG data, motion capture, and ground reaction force data into a neuromusculoskeletal model. And this allowed them to estimate the actual forces of that glute and those muscles to produce during each exercise. And so once they had all of those sets of data from the EMG and the estimated forces, then they ranked the exercises based on, you know, how those kind of matched up.
And what they found was, I mean, kind of surprising. I mean, even to me too. At face value, it's surprising to me because you would think the EMG activity would correlate more closely with force production.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I think deeper on it, and I'm sure that they have standardized procedures. And I did a research study in grad school, PT school, collecting EMG data. So like I know how to find, you're supposed to find the exact point where the nerve junction is and then put the EMG right over that and all this stuff to try and standardize it. But still, like I can imagine that there's like some variance in how accurate of data you're getting between researchers, or putting the nodes on everybody. Are you hitting the exact right spot? So, but statistically, the correlation ranged from 0.29 to 0.51, which isn't terrible, but it's not nearly strong enough to say that the highest EMG exercise is also the highest force producing exercise. And just when we look at the chart, because they mm-hmm. have this chart.
Chart's really cool to see.
Chart is really cool to see. We can, yeah, I guess.
Hopefully
I
pull that up on YouTube.
I don't know if we have the rights to use this chart. Yeah, like, that might not be allowed.
Yeah.
But
you're going to have to go look at the study yourself.
we'll link the study, or at least one of the reviews of the study, on YouTube and on the podcast. But it's like, for example, for glute max, the highest peak muscle force producing exercise was a split squat, which we watched the video and it's essentially like a lunge squat. It looks like the person is doing kind of a lunge. That was the highest of
12
the
12. Rep max.
Yeah, doing a 12 rep max. So holding some sort of weight.
Doing it loaded.
Doing it loaded. And as far as EMG activity went, that ranked seventh. Is that seventh? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eighth. That ranked eighth out of all the exercises. So that one alone shows that the one that produced the highest amount, the highest peak muscle force was eighth in EMG activity. That kind of changes everything, every previous thought we had about using EMG activity to equate at all to the actual muscle force that's being produced.
Right. It's pretty crazy when you do look at this chart, I mean, the lines and just like where it's, everything is going, to realize that they're just, it just doesn't match up. And so we have to take a better look at like, okay, let's look at the force of what's actually being produced between the glute max and glute med in order to be able to better predict what's going to help when it comes to strength and hypertrophy. Now, when they used more advanced mixed models that accounted for individual participants and specific exercises, the relationship improved a lot. So in that scenario, EMG explained about 80 to 85% of peak muscle force. And that suggests that EMG might be useful for comparing similar exercises with the same person. But once you start comparing across different people or different movement patterns, it's really unreliable. And I think that's like one of the main things to kind of look at when you're looking at EMG.
Because most EMG studies are not just done on a single person. They're using like a, you know, much larger sample size than one. And it makes more sense to me that it's more reliable on one person because, again, you place the nodes once. And then they're there. Mm-hmm. So even if they're not directly in the exact right spot, it's still going to be more consistent within that one person versus then comparing how accurately did you place these EMGs on 50 people or 100 people, or in this study, 14 people. You know,
and just the nuances and differences in body.
Yeah, we noticed the variability just in the 14 people. And so why is this important? Again, why would we want to look at peak muscle force versus EMG? And what are some of the takeaways? What's your goal? Is your goal to gain the highest amount of strength and get hypertrophy in those booty muscles? Great. Then you're going to want to focus for sure on the ones on the top of the list for peak muscle force. And the moment you've all been waiting for, the five top exercises that they studied for glute max peak muscle force were the split squat, like mentioned, the single leg RDL.
Well, and I think we have to say that
these are 12 rep max.
Yeah.
So these are loaded. Loaded split squat, loaded single leg RDL, loaded single leg hip thrust, body weight split squat, and a loaded single leg squat. Those were the top five. Would you like the honors of doing the top five?
For glute medius?
For glute med.
Well, it is not a side clam. Okay. Unfortunately,
they didn't even do the side clam.
They did the side lying leg raise, though.
That's a shame.
And the side lying leg raise was number one for the EMG, but the side lying leg raise was way down the list.
The ninth
for the peak muscle force. So if you're really trying to work that side booty muscle, start with a side plank. Just number a one. Side plank is number one. Body weight side plank. Then we have a single leg RDL,
loaded
single leg RDL, a loaded hip hike. So literally just, you know, pressing that leg down to lift that hip up, the opposite hip up, a loaded single leg squat. And then finally the banded sidestep loaded.
Yeah. I was just doing those the other day.
Yes. But that was number five on the list. So again, and this is where rehab and trying to activate that muscle and get and target that muscle should be essentially the same as gaining strength and hypertrophy in that muscle.
Well, here's where I might disagree slightly with that comment is that some of these exercises for people who are in early rehab would be tough. Doing a 12 rep max split squat is not going to be easy for somebody who's in initial rehab of their knee, hip, or low back.
Right.
And so that's where taking a slightly different look at maybe some of the exercises that are high on the EMG side, like the side lying leg raise. That's going to be a much lower bar exercise for someone to start, which is where it still has a place. It doesn't mean we are throwing out every other exercise on this list, like the hip hike, body weight hip hike for glute med. That's something we give a ton of people, but it was 12th on the list here for peak muscle force. So there's going to be a place for all these exercises depending what area you are at in your overall rehab. If you're looking at performance optimization, then yes, we are probably looking at incorporating a lot more of the exercises on peak muscle force side. If you're in early rehab and do have still have some pain or limitations,
right,
then we might need to look other places on the list or incorporate other exercises that are more appropriate. Thanks for listening to another episode. Hopefully you enjoyed that. It's a little bit different take on how we normally do our PT pearls, talking about the exercises that are the best for those booty muscles. But hopefully you enjoyed it. If you are somebody that's having issues with your hips, finding that you have restrictions there, we do have a full hip plan on Gen Health that takes you day by day and is going to help you get back into that hip, address some of the restrictions that might be going on contributing to those hip pains. It's not going to take you more than 5 to 15 minutes a day. And as a Gen Health, or as an Optimal Body listener, you can get your first month for just $20 using code OPTIMAL at checkout. That's just gen.health/free trial. Use code OPTIMAL and you'll get that first month for just $20.